It's the California Wine Country Podcast with Steve Jackson and Dan Berger. We taste, we laugh, we learn.
So it is time for California Wine Country. My co-host Dan Berger is here. Today we're featuring Keith Adams from William Cofield Cheese and the lovely and talented and one of my favorite people on the planet, Joy Sterling, is back with us.
Hello, dear.
Thank you.
With Iron Horse, and again, I've been saying all day, and thank you so much for donating some champagne for our big toast before the show's over today from Iron Horse.
Honor.
It's great. Somebody get her some sunglasses. She's staring right into the sun, eh?
That's okay.
Sorry. Okay. Okay, so Dan Berger, go ahead and talk about our guest today.
Well, cheese making has made a return to greatness in Sonoma County the last, I'd say, 15 or 20 years. But nobody's really doing the artisan type. Well, I shouldn't say nobody. A few people are. But as it has evolved, it sort of comes in fits and starts. We had a small venture down in the Petaluma area some years ago that has turned into Rouget Noir. It turned out to be a pretty successful cheese operation. And then in the last few weeks, I learned about the William Cofield cheeses, which are English cheeses, made in the traditional English tradition, which is really very interesting, and it's something that I can't talk about, but Keith can talk about that. Keith, tell us a little bit about how you decided to open up William Cofield cheeses in this county.
Let me interrupt one sure. second. This was kind of a last-minute thing for me. Also joining us is Dan Towers from Eric's Family Winery. Excuse me, Mr. Arrett owns the Flamingo, correct?
That is correct.
That's why their name is on the gigantic chair. I love that gigantic chair.
Absolutely. Arrett, just like carrot without the C.
Okay. And we'll talk more about Arrett Family Winery. But go ahead, Keith. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead and give us the answer to Dan's question.
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having us. And I want to acknowledge my partner, Rob Hunter, who's with me. He's been a winemaker in the area for 35 years. Rob and I went to UC Davis together a long time ago, and I started making cheese about 10 years ago in the Midwest.
Where?
Minnesota.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, they do some good stuff there.
They do. There's great dairy in Wisconsin and sure. Minnesota as well. I married a Minnesota girl, but I'm a California guy. My kids are grown up now, and the business I started there still going strong, but this is my sort of end game and dream come true, to build a cheese-making facility making British-inspired cheese right here in Sonoma County, and Rob and I are doing just that at the Barlow in Sebastopol.
Nice. Rob? Yeah. So what got you into this business, and where are you from?
Well, actually, I've been in Sonoma County since I was 12. My father had Hunter Farms down in Glen Ellen and had Robert Hunter Champagne.
Wow.
I was the winemaker for my dad for 22 years.
Robert Hunter?
Robert Hunter.
Not the lyricist for the Grateful Dead. I'm sure you get that a lot.
We do get that a
okay.
lot. But after 30 years of being a winemaker, I really wanted to try something new, and Keith provided that opportunity. There's nothing more exciting than to venture off into a new science, and cheese making is just that. And Keith also gave me the opportunity to help design the new facility.
Where are you guys?
We're in the Barlow.
Oh, that's right.
Barlow in Sebastopol, and we built a state-of-the-art cheese facility. And the most exciting thing is to have Keith's friends from around the country come and drool when they walk through the doors. It's one heck of a facility.
How long have you been in the Barlow?
In production for 9 months.
Okay.
So we're just releasing our first cheeses. It was 5 years in the planning, and then the build out took a good 7 months. So we're now all set, making cheese, having fun.
And the cheeses you brought three cheeses today.
Well, actually, yeah, and talk about the English-British cheeses.
Well, But cheeses are governed by a slightly different set of rules from cheeses in other countries. French cheeses are similar in some respects. You can sort of find a cheddar-like product in France, but it's not cheddar. Cheddar is a unique kind of a production, and that's a production that very few people know about. You see a lot of cheddar on the shelf. Is it cheddar? No, it's not cheddar. It's called cheddar.
Really?
Cheddar comes from where?
It comes from Somerset County. There's a cheddar gorge there.
There you go.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
It comes from one place. It's the name of a place.
So how can American cheese companies say, you know, sharp cheddar, medium cheddar?
I've been wondering
cheddar.
About that for my life.
Cheddar, really? Cheddar is not protected like champagne is.
Yeah.
Stilton is. Stilton can only be used by people making pasteurized Stilton cheese in Nottinghamshire and the outlying areas.
So your blue is not called Stilton.
It is not.
Because
it's
made in the United States from American cows.
And raw milk.
And raw milk.
Is another no-no.
So you call
Stilton
it blue
inspired.
Cheese?
We call it Bodega Blue is what we're calling
okay.
it. But it's made in the same way that they make it in England, and I know because I went there and did it.
And when you taste it, it comes as close to anything called Stilton I've ever tasted.
Really? I love blue cheese. I love Gorgonzola.
This is fabulous.
I can't wait to check that out. They've brought some of these great cheeses, which we'll show if Keith, you can slam all the cheese into your microphone or folks listening can see it. But before we do that, we're going to taste a little bit of wine on California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. And there's Barry Herbst. Good to see you, buddy. Mike will figure out how to get you on a microphone. In the meantime, Dan Towers is here. His card says he's the wine ambassador for Arrett Family Winery. Mr. Arrett owns the Flamingo. And where are they located? Where are they headquartered?
First of all, thanks for having me today.
Sure.
Our vineyards are in Knights Valley.
Oh, okay.
So one of the probably most undiscovered appellations here in Sonoma County.
Your thoughts, Dan?
Knights Valley, otherwise Napa Valley, but it's not really. It's on the Sonoma County side, but it's on the Napa sort of leaning territory. Makes fabulous Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, and it's a warm enough region to ripen those varieties, but it also is now showing its ability to make some Sauvignon Blanc, too. So it's a really wonderful area of the world, and you're right, it's undiscovered.
Joy and Barry, did you guys get a...
I have some, yeah.
Okay.
This is great.
Dan, talk about this one. What is this?
2011
All right. It's a cab.
Cabernet, yeah.
This is our 2011 cab. This is our flagship wine. We're known for our Cabernet. We made 600 cases of this wine here in your glass. And one of the things I love about Knights Valley, and particularly the Bavarian Lion Vineyard where we source all of our wines from, is our terroir. And oftentimes with our Cabernet on the nose, you can pull out a real distinctive dark cocoa powder, almost a mocha characteristic, and I think that that's one of the benchmarks of our terroir and our fruit. Go ahead, have a taste.
Yeah, as I've said many times on this segment, I'm not a huge cab guy these days. This?
A lot of tannins in most Cabernets. This one's got a little bit of age on it. It's already 2011, 6 years old, so it's going to
This is
little,
not slapping me in the face.
Well, it's got that 6 years. That helps to tame those tannins a little bit.
It is a 2011.
And the cheese will help a lot. I mean, you take one bite of that cheese, suddenly the wine becomes more friendly.
All right, beautiful. Joy Sterling is here from Iron Horse.
Hi.
What are your thoughts on this cab?
Well, I confess that I am primarily a bubblehead. But I mean that in the best possible way. But I do think it's delicious. I think the fruit is absolutely exquisite. Thank you for bringing it.
No, thank you so much, Joy.
Barry.
Yes.
There, Mike, is a little light, Mike.
It's a great wine.
We
oh, that's all you're going to say? Yeah. Yeah. Great wine. I got
to
go.
I love wines like this. I don't have to work too hard.
It's a great wine. Drop the mic. Come on, Barry. Give us more.
Yeah, you know, 2011 was kind of a malign vintage, especially in Napa Valley, but also carried over into Sonoma a little bit. But no problem selling this one in our store because the reputation of the winery. Super drinkable, priced right.
Yeah, I'm very impressed.
You know, $60, $70 bottles from Napa.
And you carry most of Arrett?
Yeah, I think at least three wines from them.
Yep, they carry a couple of our wines there. You can also find them directly from our website at arrettwinery.com.
And by the way, I was in my hotel room last week, too.
Yep.
It's E-H-R-E-T.
That's
E-H-R-E-T. All right, very cool. All right, cheese time. How are we going to do this? I mean, you got so much stuff here.
Well, we do take our cheese making very seriously, but just to show that we don't take ourselves too seriously, we make fresh cheese curds. These are a few days old, so they're not at the very peak. But I lived in Minnesota, as I said. Cheese curds are not fancy, but they are fun to eat. And so I'm going to let you guys start with these. And
you washed your hands, didn't you?
Of course,
thank you.
I did. A cheese maker. I'm better than a surgeon.
Pass the curds to the kids here. Now, how do you make cheese curds? Rob?
How do you make cheese curds? Well, cheese curds are actually the formative stages of cheddar. So it's if we were to take cheese curds and put them in the molds, they would then be cheddar. But the basic process of making cheese curds is to take the milk in the vat, bring it up to temperature, add the cultures, the rennet, stir it, then let it settle. Cut the curd, which is at that point in the consistency of custard. Let the curd settle. Draw the whey off, and from here I will hand it over to Keith about the cheddaring process. Because
I gotta ask you,
the trick.
Why make cheese curds, and who eats cheese curds? Now, when I took a bite of that, I mean, I chewed it and swallowed it. At the beginning, I was going, "Oh, this is nice. This is good." But I have to admit, the finish made me not happy.
It's not meant to be complex. It can't be with one day's production.
So what do you do with it? I mean, it's like
the buttered popcorn of cheese. You can snack on it that way. People in the Midwest do. Also, deep frying it is a sublime way to make a beer snack. So
some places like
Bear Republic at both of their locations now are going through tens of pounds a week of fresh cheese curds, frying them for their guests. There's also the famous Canadian dish, poutine, which is French fries, gravy, and cheese curds.
I've had that before, and I do like it. I grew up in Detroit, and we used to go over to Windsor across the bridge or the tunnel, and I've had poutine. I like it.
Yeah, well, it depends on your state of mind and the time of the evening.
Yeah, but, at 2 in the morning, it's pretty good.
Yes, it is. And then also, we've got chefs in the area that are chefing it up. Like, for instance, Zazu, our neighbor in Barlow, they're doing a pork belly poutine with Tabasco gravy, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, our dear friends at Zazu. Let's get into this.
Yeah, let's get into the cheddar.
This blue.
About the cheddaring process, because that's really important.
This is our 6-month cloth-bound cheddar. We just released this about 2 months ago, and the cheddaring process is unique to making cheese. There is actually a verb to cheddar. And
really?
Yes. So after you've gone through the regular steps of making cheese, more complex for you, Steve?
That is great.
Good. Once you've done the regular steps, you cook the curds, which expels more whey and gets them tighter. Then you drain that off, and you allow the curd to re-knit back together down at the bottom of the vat. You basically got a little valley of whey in the middle, and the rest of the curds are on the side. You slice those curds into about shoebox-sized pieces, and then you wait a while, turn them over, then you start stacking them.
All right, you're getting a little geeky from my audience, and I don't want to run out of time. Yeah.
So the idea behind it is you stack 2 high, 3 high, 4 high, 5 high. Once it's all done, those shoeboxes look like doormats, and that has cheddared and then you're ready to mill, salt, and mold that cheese.
All right, I got to check that blue cheese, which we'll do in a second. By the way, does Little Miss Muffet work for you guys? You got a lot of curbs and whey there over there. Okay. Dan Towers from Arrett Family Winery. What did you just pour?
So this is the second Cabernet I've poured for you today. The first one we tried was 100% Cab. This is the Bella's Blend. And the Bella's Blend is actually 81% Cabernet and 19% Cabernet Franc. So a little bit different take on the wine right there. You can see the Cabernet Franc brings a little bit of acid to the sides of your tongue. Should go great with that cheese. What do you guys think?
Dan?
I think this Cabernet Franc brings a lot to the table in this wine because it gives it a slightly spicy component. It's a year older. It's a 2010, which gives it like 7 full years from the vintage today, and that is a gorgeous wine because it's so silky. It does have nice, more varietal character in a certain way because of the Franc, actually, and the spice component is very interesting. I really like the wine. What is your retail price for that?
So our retail price on this wine is $48.
That's very fair considering what they're getting for prices over in the Napa Valley.
And $12 at Bottle Barn.
There you go.
No, I always say that.
With a special coupon.
Do you have it at Bottle Barn?
I think we did bring this in, yeah.
We have to take our bottom of the hour break, as I call it, the bottom break, and we all suggest that you give your bottom a break. Joy, any thoughts on the last wine before we take a break?
I think Cabernet Franc is a delicious addition to the wine.
Makes sense to me. All right, we'll continue with California Wine Country, brought to you by Bottle Barn. Barry Herbst is here again, the wine buyer at Bottle Barn, my co-host Dan Berger, Keith Adams, and Rob Hunter, former lyricist for the Grateful Dead, is with us from William Cofield Cheese, and we're going to find out why it's called that, since we have Keith and Rob. Joy Sterling is here from Iron Horse. When we come back, we're going to talk a lot about Iron Horse and the champagne, and we just thank her so much for sending us a couple cases of champagne for our big champagne toast, which will be just before we get off the air here at 6. Keith Adams is here from William Cofield Cheese. This is amazing. Joy Sterling is here from Iron Horse, and you're going to stick around, right? Because we're going to toast with your great champagne, and I appreciate that so much. Barry Herbst, the wine buyer from Bottle Bond. Did I say Bottle Bond?
Something like that.
I may have. Bottle Barn. By the way, it's amazing how many ex-KSRO stars have showed up here. So we're going to cut this segment short for today so we can get a round table of former KSRO stars. Keith, leave me the blue cheese, please.
It's all yours.
Thank you, my friend. And we'll have you guys on in the studio in the future. And Joy, you're sticking around. We're going to do the whole champagne toast. Barry, we'll see you next Wednesday.
I'll be here.
All right, beautiful. And Dan Berger, of course. Thanks, Dan.
Next week.